Barbers here. And I'm not talking about Brother Rick and Roxanne. I'm talking about Brother Brian and Amber and their family as they're here visiting. But great job. What a blessing. You know, it seems as if your last name is Harbor or Lar or Turner, you just play instruments. You're musical. How does that happen that way? I don't like that. That's not fair. I didn't get any musical abilities, and you guys got them all. What a blessing that your families are to us. They really are such a blessing. All right, another family that's such a blessing again is the Fiedlers, and it's always good to have them here. Brother Fiedler is a very, very good preacher, and God's really using him. And I'm excited. I'd like to get something set up down the road with a tent revival. I really want that, brother. So we'll touch base with that one. But it's been good having Mason and David here. Mason going to the Moody School, Flight School, whatever it's called. I don't have the title down. But again, great to have them here. And brother, I'm just going to turn things over to you. You give to us what the Lord's given to you. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's always a blessing to be here. And I think sometimes I remember the first time that we came when I moved my parents here, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? And I called your pastor, and I said, I'm going to be coming there. I'm going to be moving my parents there. They're retiring there. And I said, is there anything I can do to help you? And that's been a number of years ago now. And just God just, it's amazing how God just knits our hearts, especially with certain churches, you know, and this is one of them. So we are honored, and thank you. We're honored to be one of your missionaries that you all support and that you're a part of our ministry. And because I feel like you already, I know there's some of you, I know it from the Lord that some of you pray for us. And I'm thankful for that. And that's a blessing and encouragement to me, to my family. And yeah, God is so amazing. He's just continuing to work, and we're watching him do some great things. I'll share some more things tonight with what God's doing and what we're going to be doing, but I'll back up a little bit. Here we've been the last few weeks, and I was in Sandpoint last week. We got here on Saturday to my parents. We were at the week before at a family camp in Goldendale, Washington, with a number of churches. I think there was people there from about 5 states. It was just a tremendous blessing. I had the opportunity to preach, but that was just a small part of it. The big thing was just the fellowship and the family, and really getting to spend the last time as a family. This is the last Sunday. Pray for my wife. And Mason, we're going to leave him with you. So I know he's in good hands, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I believe he's in a good place at this point in his life, and he loves the Lord, and he wants to do something for him. And that's an answer to my prayer, you know. And so it's different for a dad than it is a mom, but you pray for his little sister struggle a little bit too. So, but God's grace is sufficient. Amen. It very much is. And I guess it's about a month ago we found that out again. Through Kansas. We'd finished 3 revivals, and Mason graduating in the middle in Pennsylvania and Michigan. And then we slid all the way to Alabama for him to graduate and back up. And we went. We were headed through Kansas to New Mexico to do some work on the reservation down there. And believe it or not, there are churches in places in America that there was a church that did not even have running water or working bathrooms in Cuba, New Mexico, the Navajo Nation down there. And about 40% of the Navajos down there don't. That's the way they live. But a friend of mine, we were going down there to help and to work with a pastor down there that's lost his wife a number of years ago and has a special needs son and just keeps on plowing for the Lord. And had a church that didn't have, it's so convicting to me sometimes how, you know, what we take for granted. And we're on the way there and actually stopped in a Walmart parking lot to have a call to prepare for the stuff that we're going to be doing in Nebraska with a number of pastors and a number of people that are coming together, and I'll share that a little bit more tonight. But the roads are rough. You know, we put a lot of miles on, and our trailer that we put on, actually, I think we just got it when we were here the last time. Well, and some of you know the story of that our trailer broke apart then. It was, I think, April of that year, and we were here in July, I believe. We just gotten that new trailer, and, new to us. Well, I broke two frames now. The frame broke on that trailer, too, so I guess I'm hard on things. Just a lot of miles and a lot of things, and when we live in it, the ones of you don't know that, we live on the road full time. At that time, we lived in a 42-foot fifth-wheel toy hauler. We carry a tent. We carry equipment. We carry more things for, you know, we'll bring things out west, supplies and things for churches, sound systems we'll get in the south, food, all kinds of different things, and leave them just as the Lord leads. And, so then we were there for 3 days as we worked through the insurance company to find out the insurance company would not cover it because it was a frame failure. Like, okay, Lord. And I was at peace. I'm like, Lord, I know you have this. It was a little bit when we found out that they weren't going to cover it. But the Lord was amazing in it. And I'm like, Lord, we keep breaking these. We're obviously there's something. These are not even close to made. I mean, we probably had 100,000 miles or so on that camper, maybe a little more. We had just had a church put new tires on it for us. And it was a blessing in Virginia. But God put it together, we got a, now the town we broke down in was where Fort Riley, Kansas is, or Fort Riley, and it was Junction City, Kansas. And I was looking, and there was the number one rated full-time living camper, fifth-wheel RVs, made in Junction City, Kansas. We went, and we toured. They're like, oh, you can come look and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, this sounds great. And you'll find out all these things about the frame problems they've been having with a lot of these, let alone somebody doing what we do with it and beating it up and down the road. And we went to this place, and they were great. And they don't have dealers and different things, and it's called New Horizons. The only issue is there's a two-year waiting list. They only make two a month. And they're about $275,000 to $300,000 a piece. I'm like, Lord, why did you bring me here? I'm like, I know I serve a big God, and I believe you, and I even went through, and I'm just going to be real with you. I went through, I'm like, Lord, am I missing something? Am I supposed to still be doing it like I'm doing it? And he said, yes, and I had complete peace about that. And, you know, and he just worked it out. He sent us when we found out that they wouldn't cover it. Not only would the insurance company not cover it, they're like, you're responsible for moving it from here. And the entire main frame, both the main I-beams broke completely. One ripped completely from bottom to top. The other one was 3/4 of the way, and it was just literally just destroying itself, similar to the other one. And my wife's clothes were not flying out the window this time, but there's so God just led me to this weld shop just about 20 minutes or so up the road. This was Friday afternoon that we find this out. I call the weld shop, and they're like, yeah, come on. I'm like, oh, I need some steel and to use a welder. I'm a farm boy. You know, there's, as my wife said, we dealt with it the way farmers do, and we just fix it. You know, and you never know what God's preparing you for in your life. But so we get there about 4:00. So this is 4:00 on a Friday night. You know, everybody wants to go home, right? I mean, that's where he said, yeah, well, these two guys, they're going to stay over. They're going to help you. We ripped my wife and I. Of course, the boys are here, right? You know, so so my biggest helpers are not here, but my wife and my, son Josiah, that's 10, we start tearing the front of our camper apart, literally the whole fifth wheel part, so they can get to all this. And then they weld it up, and I have them put plates on it and gusset it and all this stuff. And we needed the tent in Nebraska. So we took it on up to Nebraska, and I left it there and left my wife and daughter there while I went to New Mexico. I was several days late. But, you know, I told him what we do, and the guy that was over it, this is why we got to be so careful that we're where God wants us to be, and we do what he wants us to do, when and how he wants us to do it. Because the manager of that place was a soldier who had just retired a year before, an infantry soldier. Well, many of you know I was an infantry soldier, and we got to talk quite a bit, and he was receptive, but the man that actually did the work and stayed over, the Lord put on my heart to give them a tip, a cash tip. They were getting paid overtime, but God said, I want you to give these two men, him and his helper, a tip. And I gave him a tip and a track. And he didn't even take the track. He goes, he saw me and hand it to him. He says, I want to ask you about that. And he says, I told my girlfriend that I had to stay over and I was going to be home late tonight because there was a missionary that was broken down and told her what we did, and she said, that's what I've wanted to do. Well, come to find out that his girlfriend is a Baptist and had been going to church and trying to get this guy that was a Catholic to go to church. Many of you know that I grew up Catholic. And he just started, it was no me sharing with him, it was him asking questions, and he was just receptive. And he didn't get saved right there, but I believe with all my heart, and I prayed, and I said, God, forgive me. All of this could happen if that one man gets saved. I'll go through all of it and more if that man gets saved. Heaven will tell. And that young man was very receptive. That was the helper. I don't know what God will do with that. He knows. And you know what? Then on the way, God showed us. God gave us one of those New Horizons, literally, that was an 06 used for $36,000. If I break this frame, we got big problems. It's independent suspension. It's made really to do what we, because I prayed on the way to Nebraska that night. I said, God, I don't understand. I'm just being real with you. I don't understand. I know what you want me to do, but I broke two of them now and I can't afford the one. I said, I don't know. And he's like, look. And I told my wife, I said, you look for the trailers that don't have those frames. And she goes, this is weird. She goes, I wonder, this doesn't seem right. And she goes, it's only an hour and a half from where you're going to in New Mexico too, to boot. That's my God. So I was able to get that down there and put it together. And God's provided a bunch of the money for it. He'll provide the rest. I know that. And he always does. And so now we went up there and we just threw all the stuff in. And then we came to Idaho, southeast Idaho, went to Oregon and come here. So we're kind of just running with it. Now we're going to go back to the other and finish the stuff. And just so it's amazing. And we'll just see what the Lord has. And that's what I've just learned. Just be at peace with what God has. You may not understand it, but you know what? My Bible says we don't need to understand it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. God continues to work in my heart with that more and more. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts 27. Acts 27, pray for me. I've been struggling a little bit. I was trying to help mom and dad get ahead on some wood and things, and I thank you for praying for them, and Jason, I thank you for continuing to try to be a friend of my dad. You know, he tells me every time that you guys talk, I think. So praise the Lord for that. But I've been struggling with a head cold or sinus or whatever, but I don't know what it's from, but the Lord's helped me. I asked him yesterday, and he's really helped me a lot today. So, but Acts 27 and verse 14. Brother Gary, thank you very much for that Sunday school. That was a blessing. It was an encouragement to me, and we need more of that about the Holy Spirit and the truth about the Holy Spirit. We need not be putting the Holy Spirit in the back closet and locking him in there. We need to start following him, being filled with him, and that's the only way. that we're truly going to be. There's a friend of mine wrote this book just recently entitled Relinquishing Humanistic Religion, or Getting Rid of Humanistic Religion Through Authentic Faith. In one of his quotes, there's by Marvin Smith, is this: "It is not the public demonstration of the Christian life that we find difficulty with, but it is the private application of Christianity that we all struggle performing." We don't struggle with this, with the public, but we struggle with the private that are right there. Pray without ceasing. Application of Christianity that we all struggle performing. Let's read here in Acts 27 and verse 14, the Bible. This is Paul in a storm. He's on a ship heading to Rome. And he's a prisoner on a prison ship here. And we're going to start in the middle of this here in verse 14 for the sake of time. But the Bible says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind called Euclidon." They're on a ship, and they're sailing to Rome. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They let under a certain island, which is called Colata. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helms undergirding the ship in fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Stake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." So it's been more than one day. And look here in verse 19. "In the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.'" Think about that. "I exhort you to be of good cheer." Remember what we just read. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs," watch this. This is what I'm going to speak on this morning. "Wherefore, sirs," he says again, "be of good cheer." How? "For I," Paul said, "believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Father, that you're worthy of our praise. Father, you're not only worthy of our praise, you're worthy of our worship, you're worthy of our trust. Father, help us. We need you this morning. Father, we're all weak, much more weak than we'll admit. Father, but you're strong. Father, you know the hearts of man, but I do not. Father, I pray that you give me the words to speak. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit. As was spoke about in Sunday school, I need you. Bind Satan by the blood of Jesus. Father, do what only you can do here tonight or this morning. Father, I pray for the one that's lost, that's never truly accepted you as their Savior. Father, draw them to yourself. Give them courage to step out, to admit that they're lost, that they're in need of a Savior, that they're a sinner and that they need, that they're going to have to pay for that sin, and that they be willing to let you put their trust and faith in what you did for them on Calvary, for the payment of their sin. Father, help us. Father, for the Christians here, encourage, exhort. Father, grow our faith. Father, help us, Lord. You know what each one of us needs. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You look here, and if you're taking notes, and there's the title of this is a little bit different, but it's Be of Good Cheer. It's really the last there that I read in verse 25. Be of good cheer. How? How can you be of good cheer when you're in a storm like this? How can you be of good cheer when you're going through the hard times in your life? How can you be of good cheer always? It's because you believe God and you're going to take Him at His word. You truly. We as Christians have to get back to truly believing God. We got to get out of this humanistic religion that we have and just coming to church and to make ourselves feel better and calling ourselves a Christian. And we got to quit separating what you are on Sunday and what you are at church and church activities and what you are out in the world. It's all one. We're either a Christian, we're either have a desire to be Christ-like. We either have a desire to be more like Christ, or we're like the world. We can't be both. And God understands our struggles. He understands the world we live in. He understands our flesh. Jesus understands. I'm thankful. Jesus, our Savior, if you've accepted Him, He understands. He was flesh. He was all God. He was all man. And I'm thankful. Some days I need that encouragement that Jesus, He walked here in the flesh. And He was tempted as man, the Bible says, because He was man, so that He could understand what we go through. And you know what? That's encouraging to me. It should be encouraging to all of us. But you know, I've really been praying. God, what needs to change? How do I need to change? How does the world need to change? What is it? Are we going about this all wrong? And honestly, He's showing me that we need to change some things. And we need to start. And honestly, we're starting some of this when I go and try to evangelize to people, to this lost and dying world, and preach revivals and whatever the Lord has me to do, even a conversation, you know, a fit word spoken. You know, I've seen God work in great ways from behind this pulpit and behind pulpits, but I've seen God so many times just in a fit word, like I was sharing that testimony of doing what the Holy Spirit leads me to do. How He leads me to do it, when He leads me to do it. But brother, as you said this morning in Sunday school, and if you weren't here, you need to go back and listen to it. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. Because as He brought out in Sunday school, is that Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, we not only have the fruit of the Spirit, but we have boldness. We have boldness. And you know what I've found? I know then when to keep my mouth shut, but when to open it boldly. And when you follow the Holy Spirit, when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can never go wrong. I've watched God time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. Have you asked God to pray? Have you prayed to God, God, lead me, give me divine, you know, there's appointments. I've watched it time and time again. For the sake of time, I can't give you all the illustrations. The day that I stop having those illustrations that God gives me on a weekly and monthly basis and different things and those things that we can just praise God for, that's only Him, that's only led by the Spirit, that then there's a problem. Because we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. But do you believe God? And I believe this is one of the big ways. God knows our heart. He knows how much we truly believe. And that's why He allows these things into our life. Be of good cheer. How? You believe God. You know what? If you're not going to believe this, you're not going to believe the Word of God truly in your heart. I'm not talking about talking about these things, But I'm talking about when we're tried and we're tested, where we come forth as gold, where people see he believes God. It doesn't matter. Because the more you believe God, the less that fear of man, that snare, as the Bible says, goes away. We worry about what others think, including, you know, when I come here, I'll be real with you, it's a struggle. It's his family. My brother came up. He's been here since Thursday. But you know what? Sometimes it's a struggle. The people you're around and different things and still being the same. We all have that. Somebody, you know what? I don't know who asked for prayer for lost loved ones, but I appreciate that because I don't hear that often. I hear it some, but we all need that. Is there any of us that don't have one, that don't have lost loved ones? And if we can't get a burden for our own family, you're not going to get a burden for the rest of the people out there. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Do you believe God? We'll say, yeah, I believe God. But what do our actions show? I don't believe God as much as I think I do. I'm just being honest. I don't believe God as much as I think I do. Do you believe anyone? I mean, some people have that problem. I mean, in this world today, and honestly, what's truth? Who do you believe? I mean, we could talk about the world, or we could even talk about religion. I mean, what's right? What's truth? I've preached to teenagers and asked them, I'll never forget this as long as I live, and ask a bunch of teenagers in a girl's home and be like, what's truth? The Lord led me. And the looks on their faces, I'll never forget. Because they're like, I don't know. That's a good question. Because the ruler of this world's done a good job of deceiving, taking bits of truth and deceiving and stirring it up and changing and all this other stuff. You know, that's what, as your pastor said, and even Brother John said, and there's so much perversion of the Word of God. You know, there's so much. What do we believe? What's truth? But it can very easily get to where you don't believe anyone. You don't believe the man of God. I mean, God's given you. You know, there's. I'm not saying every man that stands behind a pulpit today. You know, there's unfortunately is where they need to be. None of us are where we need to be. But I know your pastor's heart, and I appreciate that. But do you believe anyone but yourself? Do you believe the devil? Too much. You believe those lies from Satan? Too much. We all do sometimes. About how terrible a person you are and how all this and that and how your pastor doesn't like you and other people in the church doesn't love you and all these different things. And we could go on and on and on of all the lies from Satan that you believe, honestly. That we all believe, and it's we could spend the whole, that's a whole message in itself. But Isaiah 43:10, if you want to turn there, but we're coming back to Acts 27, go ahead, but I'm going to read this, but listen to it. Acts 43:10, and we're just going to be here and then go to Acts. Do you believe God? Acts 43:10 says this, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Ye, that means us, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. You know what? I'm no more than a servant. I'm his servant. Capital H, capital I, capital S. And notice that little servant. I'm his servant. I'm actually praying about, I think that's what we're going to change the name of our ministries to, his servant ministries. There's, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know, you may know him. You know the problem with Christians today is we don't really know God. Let's be honest. We don't really know God in an intimate way. Come back tonight. I'm going to preach on that. That ye may know So if you don't know, and look at what the next words, if you're there, and believe that you may know. You're not going to believe in something you don't know. And you're definitely not going to trust in something you don't believe in. Do you see how far away we are with this? But it's like the Lord's really shown me, we need to get back to the very basics. I'm starting to do some things. I've been praying. I just had tracks made in there. I shipped 5,000 tracks to Nebraska, starting with creation. That's where we're at in America, folks. We can't just take people through the Romans road and them truly to get saved. Now, we can, but it's less and less because they've got to believe in God. They've got to believe in the true creator, not some made up little g god that's in this world. That which is honestly some Christians. I'll read you another tonight out of that book talking about that. But I'm going to read it all together here. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He, the great I am He, the great I am He. Before me, there was no God formed. Before me, there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. You know what? There's a lot of people around here that worship the creation and not the creator. You know one of the things I love about coming here? The last two Sunday mornings in this week, I just go up on the side of the mountain at Mom and Dad's. Just look out and be like, God, help them. Help them. If they can't see this and see that there's something so much greater, there's someone so much greater, we got to get back to the basics and get a hold of, you know what, I'm all about church. This is a great church. I love to see the new faces each time and how the Lord's working here, how God's using different ones, different people doing different things. Praise God. But you know what? If we lose track of who He is and having a desire to know Him in a greater way, we're missing it. We're truly missing it. Because we're not going to believe and trust in somebody that we don't really know. Look here in Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 14. We can so easily get wrapped up in all the things around us and get in all this, right? We're busy. We're all these things and all of these distractions, and we can so easily, just in a matter of time. I preached last Sunday morning on take heed lest you fall. Just come off of, I was at a church in Span Point where they were just, many of them were at a family camp, and God met with us in a great way. And, you know, how come we feel like sometimes we're like on this roller coaster. Anybody with me? Where you're on this roller coaster. Well, we're just on this roller coaster. It's because of that we allow all this around us. And we don't truly have this desire. If we will seek Him and we will have a desire, we believe in God enough that we want a greater and closer relationship. Which one of you don't want a closer relationship with your spouse? Or your child? Or a child with their parent? Or with any of that? Many of you know, and I know many of you pray for, and God has answered that prayer. I want a closer relationship with my earthly father, but I want a closer relationship with my heavenly Father. More than any of that. But I have to believe Him. He has to show Himself real to me in a greater way. But watch this. That's what he did here. That's how we can be of good cheer. Even like Paul here. But look here in Acts 27, verse 14. But not long after there arose. So he's not only dealing with this storm. Paul is literally on a prison ship for serving God. He's on a prison ship going to go before Caesar in Rome. And then this happens. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Euclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. They were busy. They were busy trying to do it just the way we do it. They're trying to go through this. They're in this storm. Paul's going to this, and all these people, they're doing everything they can do in their power to take care of this problem, this storm that they're in. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. I'm guilty. Too much. Not as much as I used to be. But you see, look in verse 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, stake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. We got to get rid of some stuff. We got to do this. We always think that we have something. We're always, if this doesn't work, I'm going to try this, and then I'm going to do that, or I'm going to go to this person. What do you think? All of these different things. But look at the next day. That didn't work. In the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They threw out everything they needed. They were so desperate, they threw out even the things they needed. Don't we do that sometimes? How many times do we waste even finances? We waste other things because we're so desperately trying to do it that we threw out the things we even really need. And we even hurt people in the process many times because we're trying to do it. But watch this. Paul's not even in any of this at this point. He's there. But watch in verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. So they didn't for 3 days see the sun or the stars. That's pretty bad. But you know what? Not only was that, they didn't even have a break. It's not like they even got into the eye of the storm. No small tempest. It was just there, and it just kept going and kept going and kept going and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And they the more they tried, it just kept. It didn't change anything. The same way it is for us many, many times in our life. Because we try, we try, we try, we try, we try. But look at this in verse 21. But after long abstinence, this shows where Paul's at. After long abstinence, they're trying to do all that. Paul's not trying to do it. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, I want you to think about this for a second. So Paul's not there. All this is happening for 3 days. They've done thrown everything out. Paul comes up. I can imagine to be like, where you been? What's wrong? We're out here trying to do all this. We're trying to save the ship and all these things. And you're down there in the bottom doing whatever, sleeping, I don't know. But think about that. I don't think they would have been real happy. But, and then what he's about to say, on top of that. But see, that's a lot of times where we're at, ourselves. And it shows truly how much we believe God. He says, so not only wasn't there, and then he shows up after long abstinence and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. You should have listened to me. I tried to tell you." You know, I believe he said this in the right spirit. He had to. I mean, if he truly believed God, God used this. I mean, there's that he's saying this in the right spirit. "You should have listened to me. And not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss." But look in verse 22, and it says, "And now." But that doesn't matter. You should have listened to me. And sometimes that's what we need to just do. We may just need to say something and then just drop it. "And now, I exhort you to be of good cheer." It's like, are you crazy? Can you not understand what's going on? Are you mad? We're all prisoners. You know, think about that. If somebody throws you in jail, you're not going to be real happy. Think about that. How many times for such small things we get so bent out of shape and we try to do it and try to do it and try to do it and try to do it. We're missing so much. Can I tell you, can I exhort you? You're missing it because you don't believe God as much as you think you do. You may be saved, but we're missing it. We're so much missing it. Give God the opportunity. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not, but he wants to. He's going to try these things, and that's what we... How is a lost and dying world... How are these people on this ship, this lost and dying world out there going to see that there's a God in heaven, but God use his people? He says that in his word. And it's not always just in what comes out of our mouth. People, especially today in America, want to see something that's real. They don't want to just hear somebody else that wants something from them. They don't just want to see somebody else that's talking the talk but not walking the walk. They want to see some people that believe God. Many of them don't know that. But they want to see some people that believe God. And then everything else comes from there. Honestly. You know what? Doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what you do. Any of that kind of stuff. Because each situation is different. If you want God to show himself real and use you, you just ask him and hang on for the ride. Yeah. It's some things you're going to have to trust him. And he's going to each thing's going to be more and more and more where he's just trying to trust you, where he wants you to trust him more. Right. It's hard. Trust me. I'll be real with you. Many times I have the thought, man, it'd be so much easier. I just go back and just had a recruiter email me last week and go back and get $150,000 job. Oh man, I'll give more to missions. I'll give more than I ever did. No, it don't work that way. That's not what God asked me to do. I'm not saying he asked God to everybody to do that, but each one of us, he's got something for us. It's the same. The circumstances just look different. It's called about being surrendered to him because we believe him. Because we believe God. But look at this and think about Paul. "And now," it says in verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer." How? They think he's crazy. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So not only, number one, are they like, Paul, where have you been? Not helping us. And then you tell us that we should have listened to you. And then, number three, you're trying to tell us to be of good cheer. Don't you understand what's going on? And now, fourthly, you're saying that there's going to be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Are you crazy? I mean, think about it. Do you believe this or not? We'll watch and these movies and different things. And we can watch good movies. And we get so wrapped up in them and different things, but we just read our Bible. But we'll put more, like, heart into watching a movie than we will what God gave us to live by, to exhort us, to encourage us. I've really been burdened about that. But you know, so think about that. That's where they're at. So they're about to show, I think, you know, they're probably about to throw Paul overboard. That's just my opinion. He says, so he starts to explain himself in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. He's bold. He's saying, how many times would we partway through that, we'd have just cowered out and just went along with everybody else. But he's still saying, this is why I believe this. For there stood by me this night, in verse 23, the angel of God. Watch this. Whose I am. Whose I am. God's personal to him. And whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must, it's my will. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Something that's not going to be good. And Paul knows it. But he's like, okay, Lord. He surrendered enough to his God. He said, okay. I believe you enough. Thy will be done. That's the only way we get surrender that way, is because we believe God. Amen. And it's in the tough times. You know what? God will show us great mountaintops. But it's in those tough times that people around us, other Christians, in a lost and dying world, sees that there's a God in heaven through our belief in our God. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need people. We should have people coming to us and saying, how can you be that way? And you're going through all this. Well, let me tell you. The door's wide open. The door's wide open. It will not happen if we don't start with believing God more and more and more. But look at this. Verse 24, I'm going to read that again to get into verse 25, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, Paul says, he's explaining this to them, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Even as it was told to me. Do you believe the Word of God? Are you close enough to the Lord? You filled with the Spirit? My Bible says the best teacher is the Holy Spirit. But are you going to believe what He says? He guides you through His Word or by His Spirit. That's where we struggle with, because we don't believe God. We don't believe God. We'll believe everyone but God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll believe everyone but God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." It is. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." I'm looking forward to that. "And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Christian, if you're saved today, church, stop getting wrapped up in the wisdom of this world. We too much get wrapped up in the wisdom of this world. I'm watching Christians all the time, good people, doing it, and they don't even know that they're doing it. We'll believe everyone but God. Why do we believe everyone else? Somebody that's got letters behind their name. Somebody that's got credentials. Somebody's got all this before we believe God. Why? Because we're carnal. Because we're carnal. Look at this in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1:20. We're continuing to read. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Look, do you believe the wisdom of this world, or you believe this? It's that simple. But you're not going to believe this unless you believe. That's where we're at today in America. That's where we're at in our churches. We need to reach a lost and dying world, but if some things don't change in here first, it's not going to happen. Look, I love this church. It's a good church, but we all need to change, starting with me. We need to believe God. We need to take Him at His word. Let me read that again. Where is the wise? Verse 20. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, watch this, the world, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, by their wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They think preaching's foolish. Some of you in here may think this is foolish. You may think what I'm saying is foolish. You may think that certain parts of the Bible is foolish because you don't believe God. And because in our natural state, the Bible says, the natural man does not and cannot understand spiritual things. So if you're not saved, if you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never truly put your trust and faith in that He died on the cross for your sin, that you are in need of a Savior because you are a sinner, you can't understand it. You can't. It's helped me to have compassion for the lost. Understanding that. They don't and can't understand. But look at this in verse 25. I'm just about done. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Because the foolishness of God, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you believe that? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That way He's the only one that gets the glory for it. That they can see that there's a God in heaven, but He wants to use us to do it. But we have to believe God or He can't do it. Watch here as I finish. The centurions, if go back to Acts 27 and verse 30, we just a couple here and then I'll read a couple last verses and we'll be done. Acts 27 and verse 30. The centurion, while you're turning there, think about this. The centurions and soldiers believed Paul because he believed God. Let's look at that. Acts 27 and verse 30. And as the shipmen, which were about to flee out of the ship, they had no hope. They're like, we're getting out of here. We're going to die. We have a better chance off than not. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boats into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. What an illustration of abiding in Christ. Praise the Lord. If we don't put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't stay in that gospel ship, you will go to hell. You'll die and go to hell. Doesn't matter what you believe. Look at this. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off, because the soldiers believed Paul because he believed God. How does that happen? All of that stuff. That's how God works. That's what it's talking about, that foolishness. If you truly believe God, I've seen it. God's given me favor with people, different things. It's amazing. But you know what? You don't know what you're missing because you don't believe God. Right? We don't know what we don't know. Think about it. The amazing thing about my God, about our God, is all we have to do is want it. If you want it more, He's like, that's what I've been waiting for, son, daughter. I've just been waiting. I've been here. Been here the whole time. I just been wanting you to come to me and realize how much you really need me. Think about as a parent. It's amazing how He made us in the likeness of Himself. All that time. How much Hannah's needed y'all lately and with the babies and all these different things. But our God wants to be just that way. He wants to be more than we could ever be to anybody else. But we just have to believe Him. It doesn't matter what's going on, whether it be for salvation, the payment of our sin, or whether it be for struggles you're going through, a storm. Whether it be just being closer to Him, somebody in your life, people around you, whatever it may be. You're like, maybe it's what God's asking you to do. There's no way you can do it. Well, you know what? There's no way I can do what I'm doing. I don't know if I've shared this here, but 13 years ago, this is the honest truth. 13 years ago, I was scared to come up behind a pulpit and pray in front of people at a church. It's the honest truth. 13 years ago. That's my God. That's my God. And you know what? He can do it with all of you. Whatever it is. He can do, but not unless you let Him. We have free will. And if you don't believe God enough to let Him. And you know what? This is what we need. We need to be like Paul and believe God so that others will see that so much that they will believe in what we say and then ultimately believe God. Look at this here in verse 4, skip down to verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land, as God told Paul, and he believed. It always works that way. If we believe God, if we truly are doing what God wants us to do, when he wants us to do it, how he wants to, and we'll believe it, he'll always take care of it. And you know what? If it doesn't work out the way we think it should, then God had a plan. He's got something else he's trying to do. And that's helped me so much because I truly believe him. It's like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how it's going to work out. But you know what? That peace that passeth all understanding is greater than anything. And I can't explain it to you because it passeth all understanding. That's the way these things do. Why won't you believe God? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. It cannot happen. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, diligently seek him. You just want it, and you're going to go after it. You'll go after everything else in life. Why not the one that spoke it all into existence? The true wisdom, the true wise, the true creator, not all the little g-gods of this world. 1 John 5:13 says this, that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, or Jesus, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. But it's your choice. It's your choice this morning whether you believe on Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for you and for me. I know what he did for me. I've already accepted that. Have you? Why can't you believe God? What's stopping you? Yourself, the world, people around you. It's your choice to believe God and to take him at his word. Let's stand. It's your choice. As the musician comes, the altar's open. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. Do you believe God? Have you put your trust and faith in Jesus? It starts with there. Would you be honest with yourself this morning in God? Say, I've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never accepted that gift that I knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that I put my faith and trust in Jesus for the payment of my sin. That not on your works, but only Jesus and Jesus alone. Would you just, what do you not believe in God in this morning? Christian, if you've done that, why can't you believe God? What's stopping you? It's your choice. Just believe God and take him in his word. You'll never regret it. Let's pray. Father, I ask, Father, for the ones that are lost here that have never truly accepted you as their Savior. Father, in a crowd this big, I know there's some. Father, young or old, but you know exactly who they are. Father, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. I know you are now. And I ask that you would give them courage, Father, to come forward. Ask somebody. Father, just do it. If they know what they need to do, Father, you know. Father, just help them to surrender to you. Father, but I ask that you would help us all to surrender to you, that we would humble ourselves and believe you and realize that we need to believe you more in each circumstance and each day and each month. Father, each year, Father, that a lost and dying world could see you as real through us, as we can through Paul here. Father, help us, please. We need you. Do what only you can do. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As the music plays, the altar's open. About you this morning. Do you believe God? Maybe you believe God a little bit, but do you want to? Do you want to believe him more? Just ask him. Come and ask him. I want to. Are you saved this morning? You need to come forward and ask somebody to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. How about you this morning?